Hey, Reese, Bibbs, put the game on, man. I'm trying to see what Luka and them boys gonna do tonight, man. Mavs Outside This Podcast. Y'all know what time it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Mavs Outside This Podcast. I'm one half of your host, Maurice Williams, aka Reese. Mind of Reese everywhere except X. MFR25 on Twitter, X if you're nasty. Joint as always by my co-host and partner, Mr. Michael Bibbins, aka Bibbs, aka Victor Timely, aka Frederick Douglass. You find him everywhere at Bibbs Corner. Everywhere at Bibbs Corner. BibbsCorner.com, whenever you want to find your Bibbs Corner content. Brother Bibbs, how are you feeling on this Thursday evening, April 11th, 2024?
Feel pretty good. You know, it's been an interesting week, interesting couple of days. I took Tuesday and Wednesday off of work, came back to work today. I drove from the Augusta area to Charlotte, about a 3-hour drive. I saw the Mavs on Tuesday, drove back that night. And then I drove from the Augusta area back to Columbia today. A lot of time on the road, a lot of miles on my baby Stella. But I had a good time. It's been a good week. How about yourself?
I get Stella groove back, man.
Say what?
Gotta get Stella groove back, man.
Stella groove is straight. Like,
okay.
The dude at the oil change had me messed up for a minute. He put my cap on crooked, had my baby coughing. But I realized it. I straightened her out. She good. She good now. Need to get some new shoes on her, but we'll see how that go.
Okay. All right. No movies since the last
Yes. I did go see Monkey Man.
Yes. I still want to see that. I wasn't.
Okay. Yikes. Sorry, I just saw Buddy get jumped on in the game. I enjoyed it, first of all. The action was fire. Dev Patel as an action star caught me off. I went in, you know, expecting some great action, but he really surpassed my expectations as far as his ability to perform as an action star, his ability to carry that role, that type of role. Give me some more Dev Patel in these roles. He pretty much made this movie because he felt like he wanted to get these roles and nobody was giving it to him. So he's like, all right, I'll do it myself on his Thanos. And so I hope it works out for him. The story, way more story than I expected. I ain't gonna lie. There were some points where I was like, can we get back to the fighting? But overall, I wasn't even mad at the story. The story was cool. There were bosses. There were, you know, things he needed to achieve along the way. And I don't know, it felt fulfilling to watch him go on this journey, to see him meet people along the way. Some of them were kind of filler, but some of them had importance. I'm doing my best not to spoil anything.
Yeah.
I felt like his journey was earned along the way. They do a good job with flashbacks in this movie to kind of fill in blanks as to why he's doing what he's doing. And I think I listened to the Midnight Boys review, and I had the same takeaway that my first thought after watching this movie is I would love to see more Dev Patel direction, specifically action directing, because he seems to have a mind for it. I thought that caught me off guard too. There's some scenes in this movie that I was like, oh damn, like he really was getting busy.
I might see it this weekend. I'm not sure. My birthday is Friday. I'm not sure what I'm doing this weekend. So, well, tomorrow or today, by the time y'all hit, y'all know what the fuck I'm talking about.
When the hell is your birthday?
April 12th. Okay. God damn it. So I'm not sure if I'll have time this weekend. My best friend's baby shower is Sunday. Shout out to them for dropping it on the weekend of my fucking birthday. But yeah, I'll get around to seeing it soon. I've been gone the last week. For 5 days, I was gone, man. I had the experience of a lifetime, the time of my life. Took myself to Philadelphia for 5 days for WrestleMania week. I was gone from Thursday until Tuesday. Greatest experience of my life. Greatest experience of my life. I'm glad I took the initiative to do it and treat myself to this for my birthday. Not much stories like my usual trips, you know, but a few things to complain about. Not complain, so to speak. So I got an Airbnb.
You go by yourself?
I went by myself, yeah. I got an Airbnb. And an Airbnb I was originally looking at was like a studio, but I took too long to get it and it was gone. So I was like, damn, the only things left now is like you get a room in a house, but there's other people in other. And I'm like, you know what? Cool. It is what it is. Like, I'll do what I got. It was a nice price. It was like $450 something a night. So, not bad.
Gotcha.
So paid for it, got there, nice neighborhood, nice house, a lot of different rooms. I was on the second floor, which was technically the first floor. My room.
First floor on the ground.
When you technically the first floor is like when you walk in first floor, because they got rooms in that floor too. But the first floor when you go up the steps, yeah, it was my room. It was cool, you know, had my nice own little room. I was the only one on the floor, so I didn't have to worry about barely ran into the other people at all because I was gone most of the day. Yeah. But one problem, my fucking room for like the first few days was so fucking cold. And there was heat on, and that was clearly a problem with my room or the vent in my room, because it was heat on in the house. Everywhere in the house was cool, but my room was cold as fuck, windows closed and everything. I took a jar of coconut oil with me. When I woke up the next morning, I put my finger in the coconut oil jar, boom, brick. Like, couldn't do nothing. Like, couldn't even use the shit the whole trip.
Oh, damn.
Shit didn't get warm till, like, Monday. At that point, I was about to fucking leave. So, that's the only issue. But I did link up with some people up there. I linked up with Brian Guzman. He went. Shout out to him. That was cool. What else? It was just an amazing experience. Thursday, Wale Mania. Oh, my God. I got to see Young Chris, Beanie Siegel, and fucking Freeway perform. Like, I got to see Beans and Freeway perform Rock the Mic and What We Do. And I'm just like, this can't tell me nothing. This is amazing. Like, it was just a fucking party, a celebration of hip-hop and wrestling. Shout out to Wale. Shout out to Kaz from The Ringer. Shout out to everybody that put it together. Van was there. Oh my God. Van was there. Oh my God. This motherfucker came out in a cowboy hat.
He been wearing a cowboy hat like religiously.
With the World Heavyweight Championship.
He been carrying the belt around too.
And he came out to Hulk Hogan's theme music.
He came out like on stage?
He came out on stage to theme music.
He didn't even say all that.
He chose Hulk Hogan's theme music.
I mean, he old, so.
And he got booed, and he said, play my fucking music again. Yeah, Van was a heel all night. I wish I'd have got to meet him, but it wasn't in the cards. I would have yelled, pew, pew, but it was too loud in that bitch. What else? It was just an amazing experience, man. I'm surprised that when I left, I still had my voice, to be quite honest, as much as I was yelling. Like, John Cena came out Sunday, I was yelling. Then The Undertaker came out and I was yelling and my voice cracked. And I was like, oh my God, I got it all on video. I might post it on Twitter. It was on my Instagram. If you follow me on Instagram and you watch my stories, you saw it. Shout out to the fan outside the stadium that had free deodorant. Cause wrestling fans be stinking sometimes and they need, and he really had free deodorant. Like, he had a sign that said free deodorant and he had a bag of free deodorant. I dapped him up. I'm like, bro, shout out to you, because a lot of these motherfuckers be needing it. You feel me?
The ones that need it ain't going to take it.
They need to. Throw it at them, goddammit.
Oh, damn.
I went by myself because the thing with wrestling fans can be weird sometimes. for the most part, like, it's like a family. Like, y'all connect immediately. Like, I sat next to a guy Friday when I went to SmackDown, found out he was from Winnipeg, Canada. Canadian, nice as fuck. Shocker. Nice guy. His name was Jordan. We chopped it up some, and then I saw him again on Monday because we had the exact same seats from Friday.
Gotcha.
Because they had like a 3-day package where you get all of the same seats.
Gotcha.
Saturday, I sat next to some guys from Philly. They were cool. I had a different seat for WrestleMania on Sunday, so I sat next to this couple. Come to find out, well, he was like, "Where you from, man?" And I said, "Baltimore." He said, "No fucking shit. We're from Baltimore too. What side?" I said, "I'm from West Baltimore." He said, "We're from Essex." In my head, I'm like, "Well, that's not fucking Baltimore." Okay, that's not no goddamn. Like, that's Essex.
Far away, like y'all came across the pond or some shit.
We only drove to Philly.
I'm about to say, like, come on, son.
Fantastic experience, though. It was cold as shit Saturday.
Vance didn't go to the main event because it was cold. He said he ain't had time. He stayed. Van.
Oh, okay. He said, yeah, it was very cold.
That's wild.
It was very cold. Like, winds was like 15 miles per hour. It was like 48 degrees. Yeah. Outdoor stadium, you know. Yeah, it was cold. Yeah. It's really, huh?
Glad you enjoyed yourself, though.
Yeah. Not much I can say, but, you know, fantastic birthday. Unforgettable experience, you know. Might do it again next year. Depends on where they go. I don't know. I heard they're going to Minnesota, and I'm not. Anyway.
I said, if it was cold in Philly.
Well, Minnesota has a dome. Gotcha. But it's like hanging outside. It's like nobody's going to want to hang outside. It's going to be cold as shit. Like,
right.
But we'll see. While I was gone from Thursday till Tuesday. Which means I only really got to check out one Mavs game because I was busy. Okay. So we got to run down this recap.
I got one more thing to tell you before you do that.
Okay, what's up?
I got the fiance watching Attack on Titan. I told you.
You told me, yes.
She
was calling Mikasa.
Makisha.
Yeah.
We're in season 3.
Okay.
She might be addicted. It got to the point where she stopped waiting for her daughter to be.
Oh, damn, that's foul.
And the daughter was mad at first, but then she was like, you know what? I'll catch up.
Has the daughter already seen it?
So she's been talking all kinds of trash for the several months. I thought she watched the show. She didn't read like the book version of like the first season.
Oh, the manga. Okay.
Yeah. So she's like, I watched these certain episodes and I read this amount, but she was learning stuff in season 2. She been overplaying her hand on what she knows, but yeah, she definitely hooked on the Attack on Titan. She been predicting a lot of stuff and making me mad because she keep doing this when every time we watch something, she be figuring stuff out quicker than she supposed to. But it's gonna be interesting to see how she reacts to the rest of season 3.
That's what I'm excited about. The like when shit really start coming together and the secrets start coming out, it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing, man. Attack on Titan.
Top 5.
I wish my lady would. Never mind. anyway. So the first game, you gonna have to carry this one. Okay. Sunday, I'll wait till we get to that game.
What was the first game? I don't remember.
First game was the Hawks. Hawks at Mavs on Thursday. We recorded on Wednesday, right?
Yes.
You sure?
I'm not.
Let me go to my messages and see when you sent the link.
I'm not gonna put cash on it.
It was Wednesday. It was Wednesday.
But yeah,
it was Wednesday. All right, Thursday. Hawks at Mavericks. Mavericks win 109-95. I'll run down the box score. Obviously, I didn't watch
most of that game.
Huh?
Did I miss most of that game? What's going on?
Luka, 25 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists. Terrible 8 of 25 from the field, 6 of 15 from 3. Kyrie, 10 of 21 from the field, 3 of 7 from 3 with 5 rebounds and 26 points. P.J. Washington, 19 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 6 of 11 from the field. 5 of those field goals came from 3-point range, 5 of 8 from 3. Derrick Jones Jr. contributing 14 points and 5 rebounds in the starting lineup. The bench did not give you much of shit, honestly. The most was 8 points from Tim Hardaway Jr., followed by 7 from Maxi Kleber. Did you watch this game?
I honestly don't remember. If I'm keeping it 1,000,000,000%. All I know is the Mavs took care of business. And
that's what matters the most.
Neither one of us is surprised by that.
No. Nah.
So
it feels good to say that, don't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm trying to remember why I wouldn't have watched this game. I'm honestly drawing a blank. I think I might have watched the like fourth quarter or something like that, but I don't recall why. But yeah, I kind of was following the score, making sure that nothing crazy was happening. If something crazy happened, I definitely would have popped in. But Mavs took care of business, and we move. Yeah, I'm not going to spend too much time on that one.
All right. On Friday, while I was at SmackDown, Mavericks ran it back against the Golden State Warriors, this time without Luka Doncic, and got it done 108-106 behind PJ Washington's game-winning layup. Speaking of PJ, dropping 32 points, 5 rebounds, 12 of 18 from the field with 5 coming from 3-point range out of 8. Played 40 minutes this game. Daniel Gafford with a double-double, 10 points, 15 rebounds, add on 5 assists to that as well. Kyrie Irving flirting with a triple-double with 26 points, 7 assists, and 8 rebounds. Dante Exum stepping in to the guard position at 11 points, 7 assists, 5 from 8 from the field. Derrick Jones Jr. contributed 9 points in the starting lineup as well. Off the bench, not much off the bench, but Tim Hardaway Jr. did give you 13 points, but shot 4 of 13 from the field and 1 of 7 from 3. On the other side, Steph Curry gave you 28 points, but that's all I need to talk about on that side. Did you watch this game?
I actually only caught the very like last 5 minutes or so of this game, but let me go back. 5 steals, 2 blocks for P.J. Washington, 3 blocks for Derrick Jones Jr., 3 blocks for
DP.
The reason I didn't watch this entire game is because that was the South Carolina. South Carolina Final Four game. So I watched them handle business, turned over, game was crazy already. I got to see, like, I remember me and my girl, like, watching it and, like, not expecting good things to happen, and then they did, and like we went to, I think Exum hit the shot to take us to overtime, if I'm not mistaken, and we both went crazy in the room. And then was it overtime?
I don't think this was an overtime game.
The overtime? Hold on.
No, that's not the overtime game. The Rockets is the
overtime. Was the Rockets, damn. But no, we did catch the end of this one, like literally the very end when PJ got the game winner and went crazy on that game. So yeah, I had a weird week where both of the Mavs games, all the Mavs games I only caught the end of because I was doing other shit. But dub's a dub. We'll take it. PJ Washington, again, we talked about it. He's going to have those games where sometimes he's not going to be hitting. But he's going to have games like this one where Luka's out. He was able to step up and pick up the scoring load. And that's why you get a PJ Washington. Not to say that we don't still need a little bit more firepower, a more consistent score in the lineup to go along with Kyrie and Luka, but the ability to have a guy that is able to do that, Grant Williams ain't doing that shit, is important. So I'm glad PJ stepped up in that way, especially it was a big game for us to try to secure that 5-seed. So big game, big win. Always love beating the Warriors. Was mad that we lost the previous game. So glad we took care of business in this one.
I like that PJ's offense is really coming together going into the playoffs. the perfect time for it to start clicking. We're seeing the flashes of it. The three is starting to fall a little bit better as well. That's going to be needed, especially going up against this team we're going up against. But speak about that later. Next, Sunday, thanks to Brian Guzman, we were sitting down eating at the stadium waiting for the show to start. And he pulled up the Rockets. He pulled up the Rockets and Mavs on his phone, like, you know, checking the scores going back and forth because he was checking, I think, the Clippers score as well. And I saw that we came back in the game. Then he pulled it up, pulled the game up on the NBA app, League Pass. And I saw the, not the game winner, the shot to take us into OT by Dante Exum.
Right.
Dante's Inferno. I love that call by Mark Fowler, I swear to God. That shit is so hard to me. Pause. Yeah. OT game. 147 to 136. Now, when you say you caught the end of this game, what did you catch?
I caught the end of the fourth. Not just the buzzer beater, but like the lead up to that. This is what I recall. Again, after the championship, turned over to this. And it looked like the Mavs were going to lose. But then, like we said, Dante Exum hits the three to send it to OT. Celebration ensued. And then once we got to OT, that was Rapsky. The Rockets did not have much left in the tank. They had already been looking kind of rough in the late fourth. And Mavs took it home. Kyrie had 48 in that game. Luka, 37.1 rebound shy of a triple-double. Exum, 14 points, 9 boards off the bench. Again, team effort. The run down the stretch of the season, and I think the numbers on it, the top five teams in the league since in the past, whatever, the Mavs are up there with all the top teams in the league, with the Celtics, the Timberwolves, the Nuggets, and the Thunder. Like, it's those four who have been the top of the league all year, and the Mavericks have been the five hottest teams down this stretch. So it's been interesting to see. Like, I expect this team to win. Now, bad game all night, I don't care. I expect them to win. I expect Luka and Kyrie to pull it off at the end. And now we're getting contributions from guys like PJ Washington and Dante Exum in clutch situations. That bodes well for the playoffs. Because at the end of the day, the superstars are going to be the superstars. Especially like these guys are established. I don't expect Kyrie to disappear. Luka's not going to disappear. What are your others going to give you? PJ Washington, this is a new stage for him. So I can't bank on that yet.
Yeah. But
the way he's performed down the stretch of the season gives me encouragement. Even when he's not hitting, he's still taking the shots. He's not turning into Maxi Kleber, which is the goal. Dante Exum, same thing. He's missing the shots. Like that game winner, I think he had missed the previous two or three in a row. Still took the shot. That's what you need. You're not gonna make all of them. But if you're willing to take the shot, that's necessary for big moments. Daniel Gafford is back on another bucket streak, if I'm not mistaken. He might be up to in the 20s now, but I think they said it's his fourth or fifth of his career streak of 15 or more in a row. And if I'm not mistaken, he did make his last six in a row the other night to continue that streak. Yeah, it was 12 for 12 against the Hornets. And double check, make sure he didn't miss yesterday. 6 for 6 last night. So he's on another bucket streak. And that's exciting, man. He's doing his job. He's not doing too much. Did see him get dinged up a little bit in the Hornets game, but still played against the Heat. And again, this team right now has me excited in a way I don't think I've been in a long time.
I agree. Like I said earlier, it feels good to go into a matchup and be like, you know, the Mavs handle business and we expect them to do so. You said about PJ that this playoff atmosphere is new for him. I think that's actually a common thing with some of the most important guys on our team. When you think about Dante Exum, it's true for him as well. Daniel Gafford,
In the NBA, is true for Danny Exum.
Dante Exum is true for him as well. Daniel Gafford, Derek Lively. Has Derek Jones Jr. played in the playoffs?
He would have done it with the Bulls and the Heat, right? not sure. I can pull it up.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. I mean, obviously, we have Tim, who has played in the playoffs the first two series against the Clippers. We have Josh Green, who played in the playoffs that Western Conference Finals run. Maxi Kleber obviously has played in the playoffs with us the last few times we've gone.
Yep, he was on the Heat in 2020.
Okay.
So played
15 the year they went to the there. Finals.
Yep. Played 15 games there, only 6.5 minutes a game, though.
Okay, never mind.
He played two playoff games with Portland in 2021, five games 2022 with Chicago.
So, no, he has – he technically has experience, but, like, let's be for it. shout out to Derek Jones Jr., but I'm just keeping it real.
He's seen the playoffs. I mean, he had front row seats.
Yeah, he had just like me. and just like other people that paid. So yeah, that could be a worry, but from what I've seen from these guys, I'm not gonna be too worried.
Okay.
Maybe with Josh, to be quite honest.
Josh Green?
Yeah.
Because his only playoff experience was what, that Warriors run, right?
Yeah, that was it.
The run where we got smacked by the Warriors.
Yeah.
He is, again, a guy that I'm mad that I don't feel good about right now. Hold on. Exum has some experience, too. He has 17 games with Utah in 2017 and 2018, but it's been a long-ass time.
17 games, like, combined?
In 2017 and 2018 combined, yes. 7 in 2017,
10
in 2018.
Okay. No. I mean, how many minutes did he play?
He averaged about 12 minutes a game across both series. 12
and 11. I'll give him that.
He was taking four shots a game.
I'll give him that. He has some experience. They were probably gone in the first round both times, but yes.
No, it would have been the second round the second time if he played 10 games.
Okay, yes, right. Yeah.
First one was probably first round for sure.
Right.
Who else are we missing? Anybody else I need to look at? Gafford? I'm pretty sure.
Gafford. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he didn't.
Did he? I'm trying to remember when he got traded from the Bulls. Got something on here. Oh, was he with the Wizards with Westbrook? Yep. Yep, 2021, five games, two starts, 12.6 boards per game, two blocks per game. He performed well.
Okay.
He might have led the playoffs in field goal percentage, and effective field goal percentage. Five games, though, so you can't really.
Okay, so maybe I'm underestimating these guys.
Yeah, he was with the Wizards when Westbrook went on that run.
I could just be underestimating these guys, so maybe there's more to expect from them.
They all have dipped a toe in the playoffs. Let's say they all have dipped a toe. It's not going to be like the lights are too bright all of a sudden, but they might be too bright because none of those teams were expected to do anything besides the Derrick Jones Jr. time with the Bulls.
Yeah,
that's the only one where, or not the Bulls, the Heat. That's the only one where like they were actually serious about whatever they had going on.
All right, let's move on to the next game. Tuesday, you were at this game.
Yes.
The Mavs righted the wrongs from the end of last season and got the job done against the Charlotte Hornets on the road. Luka Doncic with 39 point triple-double, 39 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists, 13 to 25 from the field, 8 of 17 from three. Daniel Gafford with a smooth 26 points, 12 of 12 from the field, 7 rebounds. Kyrie with 8, 9, and 8, 6 of 15 from the field.
18, you said 8, 9, and 8.
Say what?
He had 18 points.
That's what I said, right?
No, you said 8, 9, and 8.
Oh, okay, my bad. 18, 9, and 8. PJ only with 1 point, 0 from 7 from the field, 0 of 6 from 3, but 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 steal. The bench, Tim Hardaway Jr. gave you 15 points, Maxi Kleber gave you 10. How did you feel about this game being in the building? What did you like what you saw? Where were you sitting?
You had to ask me that last question. So being a family man kind of changes things because, like, you got to pay for three tickets all of a sudden instead of the one that you were used to paying for. So, like, the money that I spent on a ticket was the same amount of money I would have spent on a ticket for myself, but I had to spend it on three people. So we was up there with Sting. And
oh, okay, yeah.
But we had the sideline, so, like, you could see the whole court. Like, if I'm going to be up there, I'm going to be, like, in the middle, baseline. Side baseline, so I'm in the middle of the court. I could see everything at once. And it actually was an interesting angle because, like, passing and stuff like that, you could see all everything from above. Like, I was pretty much to it. It was fun. Luca. So my fiance said at one point, because the Hornets got back in the game, she said, I feel like once the league get to 20, Luca just start doing shit. And that is facts. Luca was playing around. He was playing around even when we were building the league, but he really started playing around once the league was built. And that's just what he does. Like, he's a kid. He's trying to have fun. He's trying things. He got it very experimental during that game a couple times. But like you said, we took care of business. PJ Washington, I think, was emotional. The Hornets did a couple of tributes because, as we know, Steve Clifford stepping down. And so they did a tribute to Clifford. And then they also did a tribute to PJ during the game. He came out, waved to the fans. They gave him the standing ovation and all that. And I could see he was emotional. I could see that both he and Grant Williams were trying to prove stuff. And so him having a terrible game shooting-wise is not surprising. The fact that it did not affect us is cool. It's fine with me. Overall, it's a fun time. The fact that the Hornets got back into it helped because for a while, it sounded like it was 50% Mavs, 50% Hornets in there because people were cheering for Luka when Luka was taking crazy shots and doing this, that, and third. Luka definitely stat padded the triple-double. Came back in just specifically to get two assists at the end of the game. That's okay. Overall, it was a fun experience. The fact that the Hornets got back in it allowed for it to be a fun experience because it was good and ugly at one point, and it was quiet in there. It was very quiet.
I don't remember what my prediction was for the week.
It was 3-1.
3-1? Yeah.
We both said 3-1.
3-1. And we ended up sweeping.
Yeah.
Ended up sweeping. There's just two games left now. All right. Well, in the midst of us sweeping throughout the week, going 4-0. I'm sorry. No. 5-0.
What?
We did with the Heat. Remember that the Heat played yesterday, but we didn't count that in the
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. We played the Miami Heat yesterday. 111 to 9.
We both predicted that we would lose to the Heat. We definitely both predicted that we would lose to the Heat.
We did. So what?
Did we do 5?
You know what? It don't even fucking matter. So we can go back and answer.
It don't matter. We both predicted one loss, and we both predicted the loss would be to the Heat. We lost.
Yeah.
We were both wrong.
Both wrong. Defeated the Miami Heat soundly, 111-92. It always feels good being Miami.
Yeah.
It always feels good being Miami. Luka with a 20, not flirting with a triple-double. 29 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. Didn't shoot too well. 9 of 23 from the field, 4 of 15 from 3. Kyrie with 25 points. Shot fantastically, 10 of 15 from the field, 5 of 8 from 3. PJ Washington bouncing back, 5-11 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3 with 12 points and 6 rebounds to add on to it, along with 2 steals and 1 block. Derrick Jones Jr. with 12 points, along with 2 blocks and 2 steals. Daniel Gafford with 3 blocks, 12 points and 5 rebounds, continuing his streak, going 6 of 6 from the field. Off the bench, didn't give shit, nothing worth talking about. The Mavs aren't just skating by on these wins.
Nope.
I guess you could count like the Warriors game, yeah, but you could say we were missing Luka. The Rockets game, we definitely skated by on that one, but we took care of business in overtime for sure. Other than that, they have been soundly handling business, and they've been soundly handling business against the non-playoff teams and play-in teams. And the Miami Heat fall under that category, but I think people think more highly of the Miami Heat than regular playoff play-in teams because of what they do in the playoffs. We have solidified the 50.
Bare minimum.
Huh?
Bare minimum.
Bare minimum. Like, we cannot fall below 50. Clap it up. Fantastic. Fantastic. Like, how many wins until we are at 50 wins. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a very slim chance we get the 4 seed. We most likely won't get it. It's a very slim chance. But it doesn't matter because our matchup is locked up. Before I move on to that, is there anything you would like to say about this Heat game?
I ain't watched that shit.
So our matchup, 4-5 matchup. We are running it back for a third time. Dallas Mavericks and Los Angeles Clippers. We had a feeling this is what was going to turn out, especially since we were vying for that fifth or fourth seed.
Yeah.
This year is going to be different. And I don't even mean like, oh, yeah, we going in and we going to win. It's going to be different. No, just overall. The series is going to be different. The Clippers now have James Harden on the team. They have a Russell Westbrook on the team. The Luka has a team. like, he has talented players on the team. He has a Kyrie Irving. You can't just do let Luka do what he's going to do. No, because Kyrie's going to do what he does as well. We saw what this team could do against a Clippers team when Luka didn't have any help.
Yeah.
Now, here's the deciding factor. Before we had Rick Carlisle, right? Right now, we got Jason Kidd.
I don't think about that one.
Jason Kidd has to coach against Tyronn Lue. If it's the Jason Kidd as of late, if it's the Jason Kidd that we got in that Western Conference playoff run, I feel more optimistic.
Okay.
And since that's the Jason Kidd we've seen as lit of late, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But I still don't know how well he fares in a playoff series against Tyronn Lue. I mean, in that Western Conference run, he coached against Quinn Snyder and Monty Williams. Good coaches, in my opinion, but more so on his level. I think Tyronn Lue was a level above.
Yeah, I personally have said that Lue is one of my favorite coaches in that regard. And that's a lot of that is the respect for what he did against us in the playoffs. The coaching matchup does not excite me. I will say that. One of the benefits of what Jason Kidd did is that he let the players decide it. And so if he just stays out of the way, I'm cool with that. Luka and Kyrie versus Tyronn Lue. I feel better about that.
I'm excited about this playoff series, man. I'm excited about the playoffs in general as a basketball fan, but as a Mavs fan, I'm excited about this series because, yes, I want redemption. I want Luka to get that redemption. I want Luka to get that monkey off his back. Like, fuck y'all. I'm coming back for this W. I'm getting it just like some bad boy, like his Bad Boys Pistons.
Right.
I think this is going to be a fantastic playoff series. I said it before and I'm standing on business. Not scared of nobody.
Okay.
We can beat anybody. Mavs and six.
I'm not ready to do all that, but
call them a shot. Mavs and six.
I still stand on the Mavs, like you said, being able to play with anybody, being able to beat anybody. I'm looking forward to the third matchup. I'm looking forward to the narrative, if you will, of this being. I see people saying this is Luka's Detroit Pistons. Saw somebody today say this is Luka's San Antonio Spurs. If you do the dirt comparison, it's the idea of the Clippers does not scare me in the philosophical sense. The oh no, they got the big three. James Harden is not MVP James Harden anymore.
No,
he's not a playoff riser. Typically,
he literally falls in the playoffs.
He falls off completely. He ain't him. That's why he needs a super team around him. Kawhi been in the cryogenic chamber.
Yeah.
Last week or so. Suiting up, ready, getting ready. PG, we know we might get playoff P. You know what I'm saying? But we know that Luka and Kyrie are both killers in the playoffs. And people going to say, but Luka ain't won no shit and blah, 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 blah. Stop playing with me.
Let me say this. The last few times we've seen Kyrie in the playoffs ain't been great.
Okay.
Last time we saw him in the playoffs.
Didn't he break his ankle?
Against Boston. When they got swept in the first round.
Yeah.
Wasn't great, but Boston, that defense was fantastic. The Clippers don't have that defense.
Okay.
Before that, he did roll his ankle or some sort against Milwaukee. I think he was playing pretty good in that series.
He was hooping, and a lot of people said that they only lost because of that.
Yeah. Before that, not sure if he played. He was
pulling, on. I'm pulling it up. I'm pulling it up.
Yeah.
It's taking forever to load, but I'm pulling it up. There we go. Taking this sweet time getting to the playoff tab. There we go. So yeah, two times with Brooklyn. It would have been 2022 where they got swept, like you said. If this video will not close, there we go. Then 2021 would have been the previous, and then prior to that, it was Boston 2019.
Yeah.
He shot 38% from the field in that Boston run.
That's when they lost in the second round, I think.
Yes, 31% from three. So it's been rough. It's been rough. But his previous three runs were beside one LeBron James, and he's in a different role here than he was in the runs where he did not play at his best. I think that his sidekick, secondary ball handler role is where he thrives in these situations where he can pick his spots a little bit more.
It's kind of where he thrived with LeBron as well.
Right.
So I'm excited. Obviously, we got to deal with the Android Kawhi. That's always a problem. But it is what it is.
For him, pause.
Huh?
Got a little bit more beef for him this time. Pause. Got that extends. Pause.
Okay. You went too far for no reason. For no reason.
Remember last time it was just bully ball over Maxie's through Maxie's chest and get to the lay. Daniel Gafford back there for him. And P.J. Washington is there to trade out with Maxey. So Maxey not playing 40 minutes a game.
Let me ask you a question. Would you sit Luka and Kyrie for the last two games?
Tough. As of today, we still, like you said, have a shot at the four. We'd have to win our last two games.
But we need the Clippers to lose as well.
We have to lose their last two. I believe we play at the same time. Pulling it up now. So tomorrow we play at 8:30. Clippers don't play till 10:30. So we would have to play the Pistons straight up. I think we can rest one or both of them for that game. And the one that plays maybe doesn't have to play the whole game.
Yeah.
Should be able to handle the Pistons. I'd be okay with resting both for that game.
I would too. Just to make sure they're 100% going into the playoffs, and we get a week off because we don't have to play in the play-in. And if you rest both of them, it gives a lot of chances for guys like Dante Exum, PJ Washington, you know, Josh Green, these guys to get more time and more exposure and get their confidence up
right
to the playoffs possibly as well. Especially since, I mean, we can't go lower than the fifth seed. We have to rely on another team to lose for us to get the fourth seed. From being honest, though, I would like to see OKC get the one seed. OKC or Minnesota. That way, if we were to make the Western Conference Finals, that's when we'd see Denver if they made it all the way through.
Versus seeing them in the second round.
Yes. Yep. Not afraid of them regardless. But if I had to choose, I'd rather see them later down the line a little knackered up.
Denver played San Antonio on Friday. Thunder played the Bucks. Wolves played the Hawks. Saturday, nobody. And then Sunday, when all hell breaks loose, Hell in a Cell.
It's crazy you say that because literally right now, a fucking wrestling YouTube video I'm watching, they were wrestling inside Hell in a Cell.
Well, obviously, we play the Thunder, so we could kind of manipulate that. Minnesota plays the Suns, which they might have something to play for. And Denver plays the Grizzlies. I can't
see. Oh, yeah. Denver's winning out.
Denver's got it locked up.
Yeah, Denver's got it locked up. They got the Spurs and Grizzlies at the end. They got it locked up. Lucky bastards. All right. Don't have to worry about that then. I'm excited, man. I'm ready for the playoffs to start.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that Mavs fans went from anybody but the Clippers, anybody but the Clippers, anybody but the Clippers, all man the Clippers, to man, fuck them Clippers. Let's get it.
Fuck them. Let's get it. It's a different team now.
Yeah, and the fans are starting to believe. I'm curious what kind of goofy-ass merch they come up with.
The We Believe Mavericks?
I don't want to see that shit. I don't want to see that.
Oh, man, that would be fucking awful.
I would be pissed. I would probably cheer for
the team. I would be genuinely offended.
Nah, I
wouldn't get it. Not even just upset, offended.
Mm. Smacking the hell out of these Starburst jelly beans.
Say what?
I'm smacking the hell out of these Starburst jelly beans.
Okay. You got them on sale for after Easter and shit?
Indeed.
Got the 50% cart and shit. Yeah.
Of course, got to.
I'm ready. I'm ready. We'll dive deeper into it going and into the playoffs for sure. But I'm ready. I'm ready for it to start. I'm ready for these last two games to be over with. They really don't even matter for the most part in my mind.
I spent most of the Hornets game being scared somebody was going to get hurt.
But I will say, if the MVP race is really that close, Luka should play the last two games and get those two. Hey, man, 52 wins is nice.
Is Luka going to win the scoring title?
How close is it? Let's see. See how close it is. He is leading in points per game right now.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going to win it. 33.9 in first place. Second place is Giannis at 30.4.
Oh, yeah. That's easy.
Yeah, he's got that locked up for sure. He's right. He's behind Halliburton with assists, but Halliburton is ahead by 1.1. So there's that. Damn, I thought he was higher in rebounds. Anyway, yeah, if those two wins can help Luka's case for MVP. What the fuck was that?
Hold up. I got distracted. Somebody posted some Lexi Brown highlights. And the song choice, she pointed out that the song choice was hilarious. And so then I hit play and then I started vibing. I'm gonna play it out loud real quick. Lexi Brown plays for the Los Angeles Sparks.
How did I know it would be this song, man?
I'm done.
How did I know it was going to be that song? Oh, my God.
Oh, snap.
I can't escape it.
Somebody actually did a whole verse. I gotta find my headphone case. This is annoying. But anyway, back to the topic. Go Mavs.
Go Mavs. Moving away from this, do you have anything else to add for this preview of the Clippers Mavericks?
So I was gonna do like a detailed breakdown of, you know, the last time we did this in the playoffs, what the matchups were, who the key players were. So let's look at the Clippers key players real quick, if you don't mind. Kawhi, obviously.
Yes.
40 points a game or 40 minutes a game. Paul George, 40 minutes a game. Reggie Jackson was the third leading scorer for that Clippers team. He's gone. Marcus Morris was the fourth leading scorer. Gone. Is Nick Batum still on the?
No.
I don't think so. Nick Batum was next. Why is this loading? You know what? If this takes too much. Okay. Nick Batum, Serge Ibaka. Actually, let me go to the minutes play. Let me go to the minutes. So it's Kawhi, Paul George, Marcus Morris, Batum, Reggie Jackson, Rajon Rondo, Terrence Mann, still there. Zubac, still there. Patrick Beverly, gone. Those are all the guys that play 10 minutes a game or more.
Okay.
For the Mavs. Luka Doncic.
Yeah, it's about to be hilarious.
Luka Doncic, 40 minutes. Dorian Finney-Smith, 38 minutes a game. Tim Hardaway Jr., 37 minutes a game. Kristaps Porzingis, 33 minutes a game. Maxi Kleber, 27 minutes a game. Boban Marjanovic, 21 minutes a game. Brunson, 16 minutes a game. You might recall his quietness in that one. Josh Richardson, 13 minutes a game. Willie Cauley-Stein, 10 minutes a game. Luka averaged 35 points.
We went seven with them, niggas.
Say what?
We went seven with them.
Yeah, seven game series. We know what Luka did, 36 points, 10 assists, 8 rebounds. Tim Hardaway Jr. was the second leader scorer with 17 points a game. Shot 41% from the field. Kristaps Porzingis was the third leading scorer with 13 points a game, 5 rebounds. 47% from the field, 29% from 3. Boban, the fourth leading scorer, 12 points a game, 8 rebounds. Dorian Finney-Smith, 10 points a game, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. 40% from the field. Team look a little different now.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Teams look a little different now. Pulling up the... Is this the right roster? Hold up. What the hell? Oh, no. Yeah. Pulling up the Clippers first. Because that's fair, right?
Yep.
So this year, their guys, they spread the love a little bit more. So Kawhi is the leading scorer. 23 points a game. Paul George, 22. James Harden is their number 3 now. He's averaging 17 points a game with the Clippers. Norm Powell, new face, 14 points a game. Zubac still doing Zubac things. They have Russell Westbrook now. He's averaging 11 points, 5 boards, 5 assists. Terrence Mann still in a similar role right now. Let me see. I'm going to go to the minutes distribution. Harden, Kawhi, Paul George, Zubac, Norman Powell, Terrence Mann. Russell Westbrook, looks like Amir Coffey will be their eighth man.
Interesting.
And that's it. That's the rotation.
So it sounds like,
as far as I'm thinking,
something you said when they first made that Harden trade, they lack size.
Besides Zubac.
Besides Zubac. Who the small team now? It ain't us. Who that sent off that bench?
Is it Daniel Tice?
I think it's Daniel Tice.
Daniel Tice. I don't know if Plumlee came back or not. Let me double check that real quick. Tice and Plumlee are the other bigs that I'm aware of.
Those are decent bigs.
Let me see.
Off the bench.
Yeah. Tice is, or Plumlee looks like he's back. Yeah, he played 35 minutes yesterday.
Okay.
So Plumlee's back. They got Tice as well. Veteran bigs. I think for us, it's going to be – our youth should be a benefit, in my opinion. See, people talked about the Clippers like to slow the game down. I feel like we can't let them.
I agree.
I think we have to make them run. We have to make them
make Kawhi over. Run until the meat fall out them bones.
Make legs get to moving. The bones will start grinding. I'm speaking from experience. And they won't be able to keep up with us. That's my feeling. That's my feeling. We gotta out youth them. I wanna see Lively get minutes. I wanna see Gafford running the floor. I wanna see Luka get Zubac out of the game again. I want to see, what's his face? Jason Kidd not try to match them when they take Zubac out.
Yeah.
I want us to keep our big on the court. I want us to keep a young, lively body in there. Feel like Daniel Gafford can
eat. No pun intended.
Facts. I want to see Daniel Gafford eat in this series. I want to see PJ Washington put his stamp on a defensive player. Acknowledgement. I want to see.
You like PJ on Kawhi?
I do.
Okay. All right. Hey, he been locking up his position. Now, if he don't really do that great against Kawhi, I'm gonna be like, it's playoff Kawhi. Like what? But
I don't. All I need him to do is better than Maxie did.
Yeah. You like Derrick Jones Jr. on PG?
I like you. The length. PG's, I don't think PG's trying to go through nobody's chest no more.
Yeah, I agree.
Kawhi might try to go through PJ chest, but last time we just had Maxie.
Yeah.
Now we have PJ and Maxie. That was the entire goal When I laid out that plan back in the day of getting PJ Washington, the entire goal was to have two guys that you could throw at those big wings. So Maxey ain't taking shoulders to the chest all night or being dependent upon the score offensively because he has to be on the court and we need him to take shots and he's scared to. We got two of those guys now. James Harden is the X factor for them. Does not scare me. I'm going to be 100% honest. James Harden is not putting the fear of God in me at this point in his career. I just don't see it. Biggest weakness for me, for the Mavs, I don't care about the inexperience right now. Biggest weakness as far as the game's not going how I, when I, if I were to say Mavs in six, biggest weakness, biggest thing that could keep that from happening is if Luka is unable to turn it up defensively. And when I say turn it up, I literally just mean paying attention to where the hell his man is on the court.
Yeah.
And moving.
Yeah.
He has not been doing that for the past few weeks.
Maybe he's saving it for the playoffs.
Turn it on. I will
turn it on, man.
I will shut the hell up. Literally. And I've been paying attention. Jokic. Nobody about to sit here and say Jokic is clamping shit.
Absolutely not.
But he pays attention. He rotates. He communicates. He moves just enough. That's all I need. I don't need you in your stance doing your dance. All I need is, damn, that's my man in the corner. Let me get out here. My man cutting baseline. I'm putting a body on him. That type of stuff. That's it. Just don't be a liability. Because teams do go at Luka. I watch it. They go at Luka. He's the weak spot. He's why Dylan Brooks had 30 points in the Rockets game and we went to overtime. He's why we lost the Warriors game. Because those teams attacked him. And it was effective. Sometimes it's not going to be effective. Sometimes it is. He gets to determine whether or not it is most of the time. So just need him to pick it up in that respect. If he picks it up in that respect, like I said, I don't fear nobody.
Facts. I think that's a fair assessment. And that's always been the main knock against him. So, and he's done better this season. But like you said, in the last few weeks, we start to see a little of those glimpses. So we going to need that back, excuse me, in the playoffs. I think it's time to move on. It's going to be hard for me to do an unsung hero when I haven't watched the games. I feel like it's not right to give it to someone if I haven't really watched the games.
I feel like you know who it is.
Unsung hero of the week ago, well, it goes to PJ Washington.
Okay.
If you're watching the video, I'm not looking at my phone. I'm not looking at box scores or nothing. I just know it goes to PJ Washington. I'm sorry. All right. Look. yeah, I didn't watch the games, but it goes to PJ.
32 points in it.
Yeah.
Step up. Like,
it's hard. It's hard not to.
That's an easy call.
Yeah.
Safe call.
Speaking of calls, we're going to call up Weatherman Bibbs. See what the forecast is for the end of the season. Bibbs, what's the word?
Hi, Race. You know, it's windy down here in South Carolina, and I know it was brick up in Philly last week, but it's all sunshine for the Dallas Mavericks. Two games left on the schedule, and it doesn't matter what happens in either one of them. Hell of a position to be in. Well, technically, I guess it could matter, but first game is against the Detroit Pistons, and we're going to find out that night, potentially, if we have a shot at the 4 seed. But Detroit Pistons, they're on their way to Ping Pong City. I almost said some crazy shit. Ping Pong City. And, you know, that game is probably not going to be that competitive. Wouldn't be surprised if Luka and or Kyrie sat, or even a guy like Exum. You kind of want to put him on bubble wrap until the playoffs. Then, finally, last game of the season on Sunday, Oklahoma City Thunder
hell of a season they had. They're still technically in competition for the one seed. Looks like Denver's going to lock that up, if I'm going to be honest. So they may just be competing for that two or three, looking for home court advantage maybe coming into that game in the second round. We'll see. Without further ado, throwing it back to you. Let's get these playoffs rolling.
2-0.
Yeah.
We'll just go 2-0. I think that Thunder game could be really good, especially if we're both playing for, like, if there's a chance, if we win that game, we can get the fourth seed. And if they win, they can get the one. Like, that's going to be a really good fucking game.
And MVP stuff.
And MVP stuff. Like, that's going to be a banger to close out the season. 2-0 for me. I'm riding with the Mavs all the way to the end, man, going into the playoffs. I'm glad we out of that play-in. That shit is going to help so much, having that week off for everybody to heal up. It's a fucking blessing. But not much left to be said. Do you have anything to add?
No, man. Just want to get to the postseason healthy. We saw that backfire on us.
Yeah,
like, it didn't even really backfire on us, but we saw Luka get injured at the end of the season before. Mm-hmm. Somehow played in our favor. But definitely not something we want to see right now. So get through the season healthy. And that goes for all teams, honestly. I just want good basketball, man.
Facts.
Anybody that's not hurt right now, let's see them get healthy. Cat coming back, awesome. Trae Young coming back, awesome.
Get everybody playing himself.
Say what?
Mr. Playing himself.
Mr. Play-In is ready. Let's get it.
Let's get it. With that being said, signing off for Reese and Bibbs. We'll see you on the playoffs. Peace.
Peace.